and there was a couple hundred students there.
And then the Sunday before that, I was at a place with about 600 students.
We saw 30 salvations. We saw some salvations on Friday night.
And then tonight, I'm going to Rock Hill, and there's supposed to be 2,000 students there. Amen. And I just feel like God is going to move in an awesome way. And so I feel like even today, right now, as we sit here, God is in the midst of something great. Now, God is not only in the midst of something great in Rock Hill, Simpsonville, and where I was on Friday, Darlington, but God is also in the midst of something great right here in our midst. How awesome is that?
Praise the Lord.
God is doing something great. And I think sometimes we can miss out on God's movement because we get distracted by all the things that Satan tries to keep us from seeing what God is doing. Now, there's a multitude of these things. Sometimes we get distracted by money. Y'all have been distracted by money? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get distracted by fears. Y'all have been distracted by fears? Some of y'all get distracted by jobs. Get distracted by all of these things that Satan wants to use to steal our attention. Because when Satan steals our attention, he implants a thought. Y'all know something wild? Every app that you have on your phone, you know who developed it? Someone who is a developer of apps. Praise God.
Makes sense.
Y'all didn't catch that. And so someone who is a developer of apps developed the app on your phone. You know when they began to develop the app, what their goal was? To steal your time. Y'all think, no, their goal was to make my life better. No, making your life better doesn't make anybody money. You know what makes them money? Stealing your time. Why do you think there's ads on Facebook and stuff like that? Instagram, all that stuff. Money. They want to steal your time because they know that leads to money. And when you have your time stolen, that puts money in their pocket. Now that starts a trend because when we have our time stolen, that creates a thought in our head. And those ads actually create thoughts. And those thoughts lead to us buying things, which makes more money. Don't tell me y'all haven't been on social media wasting time. And then you see an ad, and the next thing you know, Amazon's at your door 2 days later with something you didn't need. Y'all, you don't even understand how much money I spend on Amazon. I buy the most random stuff, too. The other day, I have CarPlay in my car. All I have to do is plug a little thing into my phone, and it's CarPlay. But I saw something that makes it wireless. It's $50. I had to fight the temptation to buy that. All I had to do, it takes me 3 seconds to plug this into my phone. I was like, no, that'd be really cool if it was wireless. And I just rented a car, and in the car it has Bluetooth, which makes it CarPlay. And I was like, you know what, I need to get a new car. Because I could spend $50 on this, or I could spend $45,000 on a new car. Decisions. Right? And you begin to get distracted by the things that you could have instead of focusing on what God has placed right in your path. See, the enemy wants to steal your time. He distracts us by worries of the world so that we can't see the way that God is working. He distracts us in worship. Everything is always louder in worship. You can hear God moving, but if someone takes a step, you hear the floor creak because Satan wants to distract you. When you're in worship, you can think about, what am I going to have for lunch? Y'all have been there, we're praying, Corey's praying, y'all are like, man, I can't wait to go to Wade's.
No.
Has that ever happened to you? I don't like Wade's either, Daddy. I think it's awful. You know what I mean? The food isn't that bad, but the process.
Right.
Right? I'm not a fan of the process. And so, no matter what, he tries to steal our time. You've been in prayer where you've fallen asleep. See, Satan tries to steal our attention and steal our time so that we can't focus on what God is doing in our midst. I'll be honest with y'all. I was preaching at an event on Friday night, and I got there, and I found out that I was the second of three speakers. What? How long is this going to take? Is what came to my mind. And then I found out there was only one of two worship bands that I had heard. Mind you, I'm 3 hours away. The event was supposed to start at 6. Guess what time it actually started? 6:45. I didn't get to preach till 8 o'clock. And there's still another guy to go. See, this Satan was trying to steal my attention by getting my mind on things that don't matter so that I could not preach the word that could change a life. Satan was trying to get me distracted by my own pride of saying, I'm sandwiched between two other speakers. who I've never heard of? See, I have to check my heart at that moment because it's not about the vessel. It's about the message that's within the vessel. I'm being real with you guys. I'm telling you the truth. That's what my heart was on, was I can't believe they had me drive 6 hours to speak between two other speakers who don't have nearly as much experience as I am. Now, how stupid do I have to be to get distracted by the enemy and not know that's a lie? I didn't know that was a lie until right before I preached and I hit my knees to say, God, move. And he said, quit being prideful and I will. Right? See, God, we get distracted by the things of the enemy because we can't see the plan that God has right before us. There was another man who was just like this. His name was Elijah. If y'all know the series we're in, it's called Better Together. We're praying about and looking at what we look like as one church, one body, moving together in one direction. And the actual scripture for this sermon series, which I developed, was supposed to be John chapter 15. But then the Lord told me to speak this, so don't tell Grace. Actually, don't tell Taylor or Parker either. There's just going to be a lot of ridicule that happens. I don't know if y'all know me. I'm not a very strong person, so I'll just fall to the ridicule. And so anyways, we're going to speak on Elijah. We're going to look at this man who went through extreme ridicule, who went through extreme mockery, and Satan tried to distract him from the mission that God was calling him to by putting everything else inside of his mind so that he couldn't see that God had formed him into be. See, Elijah was this man who was called to be a prophet by the word of God. He was called to be a prophet by God. And he worked and he strived to be the best prophet that he could be, but he got distracted at times. And a lot of times the distraction was the work of the enemy holding him back. See, he called fire down from heaven and God consumed an offering. There was a woman named Jezebel who kept continuing to get in the way and propitiate the idea of false gods. Jezebel went as far as to kill every priest that Elijah knew. And you're like, well, that's easy to get distracted by. That is easy to get distracted by, but we've got to remember that the enemy is trying to steal our time, is trying to steal our attention so that we can't see what God is doing. Even in the midst of tragedy, there's always a path. Even in the midst of tragedy, God is working. What the world intended for evil, God has worked for the good of saving many lives. We have to remember that even when things are falling apart, God is building up. Remember what Jesus said when they asked him about the temple? Well, show us a sign. Jesus said, I'll show you a sign. I'm going to destroy this temple in 3 days. And they were like, no, it took 67 years. And he said, I'll rise it up in 3 days. He said, it took 67 years to build this temple. And then Jesus is like, that's why you're dumb. You don't understand. I'm not speaking about this temple. I'm speaking about me. I'm speaking about the Spirit. I'm speaking about what I'm about to do on the cross. I'm speaking something that you need to see, but you're so distracted by what you want, you can't see the path in front of you that I've laid out for you.
That's good.
See, we get so distracted by what we want, we forget about what God's calling us to. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 19. Actually, I lied. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. Got distracted. 1 Kings chapter 19, if y'all stand with me in the reverence of reading God's word. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me. Now you see right there in your translation, it's a small g god. Jezebel was a worshiper of false gods. And she said, may the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. If I don't make you like one of the prophets who I've murdered with the sword. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He had came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege and the honor to speak your word. I pray that you would speak through me, Father God, not because of me, but because of your Spirit. Father God, I pray that you would show us our next steps today from your word. I pray that you would convict our hearts where it needs convicting, that you encourage us where we need encouragement, and that you would help us to be dedicated to you in worship. Help us to keep our eyes set on you. Help us to seek first your kingdom so all other things will be added. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. So Jezebel, like I said, was this king's wife. See, the king at the time was letting his wives keep their false gods. And that was defaming, it was destroying the name of God. It was disobeying God, everything that he had said. If you love me, keep my commands. That's what he continues to say all throughout the Old Testament. Have no other gods before me. He thought that one was so important that he made 10 commandments and put it as the top three. See, God didn't want these other gods competing with him. They can't compete with him, but he knows that our attention is easily stolen. Remember Moses, when he went to Mount Sinai, the Israelites got a little bored. And they were like, Aaron, we need something to worship that reminds us of God. So let's make a golden calf. A distraction from the enemy to keep them on worshiping the one true God. Do you guys know why God gets so concerned with us making idols and things in his image? Because God created us in his image. See, so often we try to create with the image of God, and we do not have that power or ability, so we are trying to become worshipped instead of be a worshiper. Same thing that Satan did. God got so upset with Satan in the garden, not because he made them eat, but because he was trying to steal his worshipers. He was trying to steal his creation, the ones that he created in his own image. You know who God was less concerned with in that garden? The animals. That's why he sacrificed one of them to cover his image. See, we were created in the image of God, which means that we were called to more than just animals. Some people think, they ask me this question a lot. Does my dog go to heaven? No, it doesn't. Because it wasn't created in the image of God. To be created in the image of God is to be created as a son and a daughter, and a prince and a princess. Everybody does not get that honor. Horses do not get that honor. Angels don't even get that honor. Think about that for just a moment. God said, I uniquely created you with my image. That is us. That are the people of God. That is you sitting in this room. God knitted you together and put this special seal upon you, the image of God. So he gets concerned with us creating things that remind us of him or things that we can worship, because those things do not have the image of the image giver. They're a lesser version of who he is. So Jezebel was bringing all of these false gods into Israel, into Judah. And Elijah's job was to tell her how she was wrong. And her husband Ahab was a bad dude. Wasn't listening to the Lord. And so all of this is happening. Elijah's fighting against it. He's fighting against it. He's fighting against it. He's fighting against it again. He goes to the wilderness, brings fire down from heaven to prove Jezebel wrong. Jezebel says, okay, I'm going to kill all of your friends. And Elijah now is exhausted. He's tired. He doesn't know what to do. He's distracted by all the bad that he can't see the good. He's distracted by all the hurt that he can't see the harmony. He's distracted by all the grueling things that he can't see the grace in which God is bestowing upon him. So he does what anybody would do, because we're all imperfect. He runs away. Y'all ever woke up in the morning and be like, I'm just going to run away today? Amen. If y'all got kids, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, I just can't do it. I'm done. I'm going to go join the circus. And they'll be okay. Right? You get these thoughts. Obviously, they're crazy. Satan trying to distract you. You want to run away from the things that God has called you to. Don't tell me you've never been sitting in your cubicle and having a conversation with your boss in your head about how he is an idiot. And today is the day that you stand up to him and you show him how you are more intelligent than him, and you just walk out like Michael Scott and start your own paper company. Now, if you've had that conversation, you've thought about that. Today is the day that I tell him why he is wrong, and I walk to you running away from the problem that's in your path instead of letting God take care of the problem. You're trying to get away from the suffering, the place, the position that God has placed you in. And Satan is trying to distract you from the things that he's doing there. But by distracting you from what God is doing, he gets you all preoccupied with what you think he isn't. Then you can't see the opportunity that's right before you. So Elijah runs away. He says, kill me. Elijah's done. Next verse, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread, baked over hot coals in a jar of water.
He ate them and drank them and lay down again. See, sometimes we're easily distracted when we're tired. Sometimes we're easily distracted when we're tired. Now, I'm not talking about like you had a long day. I'm talking about your soul is tired. What does that mean, my soul is tired? Some of you are like, well, isn't that the same as me being tired? See, soul exhaustion is completely different than physical exhaustion. Soul exhaustion is where you're not feeding your soul the thing that it desires more than anything else in the world, a relationship with God and a relationship with others. That's the two things that your soul, craves more than anything else. Think about it. God created Adam and Eve. He had a relationship with them, and he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created a wife. The two things that he gave them in the garden was a relationship with him and a relationship with another person. See, these are things that our soul craves. And when we get our souls tired, we're not giving them the relationship with God, and we're not giving them the relationship with God and the community. See, so often we busy ourselves to the point of not giving our soul time to eat, not giving our soul time to rest. And we get into a situation where we've been so distracted by what the enemy has us focused on that we've forgotten about the very thing that God called us to do, which is to worship him. We get so distracted by everything else, we forget to sit and be with God. I say it like this: Satan keeps us spinning so we don't have time to sit and surrender. When's the last time you sat with God and surrendered? When's the last time you didn't know what to do and you just said, God, whatever you want? When's the last time you sat with God and you said, God, here are all of my sin. Here are all the issues I'm worried about within my character. Think about that for just a moment. I had to do this weekend. Yesterday I said, God, show me the pieces of my character which are not of you, because if my character doesn't meet my calling, then I got a lot more issues. Wow. And sometimes I got to sit with God so that he can correct my character. And guess what? It's never easy. But my loving Father comes and prunes me. And I'll tell you what, when he prunes me, I produce more fruit. John chapter 15, that was what I was actually supposed to preach on. And so, John chapter 15, when he prunes me, he helps me, he refines me. It might hurt a little bit. I don't know if you've ever been cut with a pair of scissors, but it don't feel good. He prunes the things that are distracting you so that you can see the mission in which he has called you to. Elijah ran away, and God took him to a spot where he could rest. See, Elijah thought he was getting away, but really he was just getting into it. He takes Elijah to the wilderness and he sends a helper. He sends someone to come around him. He sends someone to give him some nourishment. See that bread right there? Yes, it's physical bread. He actually gives him bread. But this bread relates to John chapter 6 when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. See, this man wants to die, so Jesus gives him life. This man wants to die. He wants to not be here anymore, so Jesus gives him the things that will feed him. He gives him his bread of life. The angel speaks over him. The angel gives him rest. See, so often we keep ourselves so busy and distracted, we don't have time to sit with the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you spent a day with the Lord by yourself just listening to God? See, we think we're doing a really good job when we give God 15 minutes a day. God, I read your word, and then I prayed about things that I want. I gave you my wish list, Santa Claus, right? We get so distracted by what we want, we can't remember that what God wants for us. Now, God wants to hear of our requests. God wants to hear of the things that we have. But do you think that sometimes God just wants to hear thank you? Thankfulness? Think about the book of Psalms. It's literally a book of thankfulness. Now, you got to remember, there's a lot of depressing stuff in there, too. Where David's like, God, all this is happening, but I'm thankful. All this is happening, but you are good. All this is happening, I can't go to Jerusalem and worship, but you are my God. See, sometimes we keep ourselves so distracted, we don't have time to sit and be thankful. When's the last time you just spent time thanking God for your shoes? Y'all, you're going to think I'm crazy. There's a day a week where my prayer is prayer of thankfulness all day. God, thank you for shoes. God, thank you for the oxygen which I breathe. God, thank you for the trees which are self-sustaining, which through photosynthesis you feed them, right? Like crazy crap. I'm praying and I'm thanking God for that. Because think about it. You often think about that. Without the trees, you couldn't live. Mm-hmm. And God knew that you would need them. Mm-hmm. Without the water, the earth is 70% water or something crazy. Without that unique piece, this would not be a sustainable planet. And God thought about that and gave it to you. God was never like, oh man, Jesus, we forgot to give him water. We got to correct this.
That never happened. He thought about it before the foundations of the earth. He predestined. Before the foundations of the earth, he pre-created. Before the foundations of the earth, he thought about your needs and the thing that you would need. And he thought about the things that would distract you, so try to give you a spirit that would correct you. John chapter 15 also, it says, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to send somebody to be with you. That person that I send to be with you will be your counselor. He will be greater than me, and through him you can do greater things than me. He gives them the Holy Spirit. See, Elijah right here, this angel shows us what that spirit relationship looks like, which is what we will have. We will have the spirit who can correct us. We will have the spirit who can feed us. We will have the spirit that helps us make it through the hard times, that reminds us when we're distracted and gives us new life. When we thought we couldn't go any further, the Spirit takes control. He feeds our soul and he keeps us moving forward. See, I'll tell you one thing right now. If you refuse to rest and be with God, God will force you to rest and be with God.
Amen.
There's a man named Paul in the Bible. I think Jesus had to force him to rest. You know where I think Jesus forced Paul to rest? Prison. You're all like, what? I think God gave Paul the opportunity to suffer in prison so that he could rest. Because Paul was going and going and going. Paul would preach all night. Paul would pray all day. And then God said, if you're going to do this and you're not going to rest, I'm going to make you rest. I'm going to make you rest in prison. Now I'm going to do something in that rest, right? God did a lot of great things with Paul in prison. And prayerfully, God doesn't make you rest in prison. I pray that God does not make you rest in prison. But God makes me rest. He makes me sick. Y'all are like, well, God doesn't make me sick. No, but he allows me to become sick. In December, I wouldn't rest, so God knocked me on my butt for 4 weeks. It just felt like I couldn't get better. You know what my sickness was? Exhaustion. That's what the doctor told me. You haven't been resting. You're exhausted. You have to stop. And I said, okay, God, I see how you're playing this, right? And I was so distracted by the things that I thought were good. Think about that for a moment. So it's not only bad things that distract us. Sometimes it's good things. Sometimes it's good things that distract us. I get a lot of opportunities to preach and to go. And every opportunity is not actually from the Lord. Some of those opportunities are good things for me, but can be great things for somebody else. See, some of the things in your life, you don't have to say yes to everything. Every great business leader, every great leader will tell you the best word that you can learn is
no.
Now, some of us, we just predisposition toward no. Where it's like, I'm not going to do it. That's not what I'm saying. But you can't say yes to everything. You can't say yes to every single thing. Because if you do, you'll be spinning so fast you don't have time to sit and surrender. Even everything the church does. You don't have to say yes to all those things. Think about that. If you're a great church member, you don't have to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, small group, discipleship, Sunday school, all these things. That exhausts you. Worship night. Outreach, all of these things. Yes, those are things you should be involved in, but every season doesn't mean you have to be involved in every single thing. Tyler, am I right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you gotta rest. You gotta rest. You gotta take time, right? You gotta be like, man, I need to rest. And then sometimes Ricky's gotta be like, you know, you're gonna rest. Because if we give our life over to somebody else, they don't care about our rest. Mm-hmm. Your boss doesn't care if you're resting. Your boss cares about what is being accomplished. And if you don't rest, God will force you to rest. He will sit you down and he will have a conversation with you in the most amazing and loving way that's possible. But he will say, I did not call you to earn your salvation. I called you to accept your salvation. So you have to sit and you have to rest. You have to get rid of the distraction, because sometimes when you rest, you can see the clarity of what God is actually saying. See, in the midst of busyness, we can't see what God is doing. If anybody in here, you have a big decision you're trying to make, or you have a big decision you're trying to look at, and you're so busy, you're just like, why can't I hear a yes or a no? Why can't I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, it's because you're so busy that you haven't taken time to listen. You know, listening is a lost art. It's extremely hard. I don't know if y'all have ever done this. Someone introduces yourself to them, to you, and you're like, man, it's so great to meet you. Then you walk away, and they come back, and you don't remember their name. Want to know why? Didn't listen. You were distracted by something, so you couldn't hear their name. You looked like you were listening. You acted like you were listening, but you didn't actually listen. See, sometimes with God, we just have to sit and surrender so that we can actually hear what He's saying. God is always speaking. Sometimes we just choose not to listen. Think about that for just a moment. There's never a time when God is just silent with you. You just don't like the answer He's giving you, or you're not listening. God's will is not your will. And so often the time the answer that He gives you is not what you want to hear. I used to have a truck. I really liked it. It was phenomenal. And then God said, I want you to adopt children. And I said, okay. Super excited about that. And then God was like, now you got to sell your truck. I was like, God, come on, man. I like that truck. I like that truck. See, if I wouldn't have listened, I could have just said, well, we'll figure it out. I'm going to keep the truck. I'm going to fundraise more money. If I'm not putting something toward what God is calling me to and putting my skin in the game, I can't ask other people to give me everything. See, that's a lie of the enemy, keeping us distracted by letting us keep what we want so that we can build our kingdom instead of sacrificing to build the kingdom that God has called us to. And sometimes if we listen while here, God wants you to build His kingdom and not your own. So I had to sold my truck. Praise the Lord. Now I drive a hybrid. It's exciting. Yeah. Looked like a clown car with six people up. Anyway, so God sometimes speaks to us and we don't like the answer. Elijah was in the wilderness. He didn't know what to do. God fed him. God gave him direction. He laid down again. He rested and he slept. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. Now he already gave him some bread. Now he's having to eat again. See that 15-minute stuff that we're talking about where we give God just a little bit of our day? That doesn't work. You can't be like, if you don't crave God, do you really know God? I got a question for you. If you don't crave God, do you really know God? Can you, there's a story of Cain and Abel. Maybe y'all have heard of it. Cain killed Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Jealous. Because Abel sacrificed everything. Cain just wanted to be comfortable. So he got jealous. But what did God say about the offering? He said, Abel, I truly accept your offering. Cain, you did that. See, Cain wasn't craving God. Cain was craving the recognition of God. And I'll tell you something right now. You can't crave your father's recognition because your father freely gives it to you. And when we're so busy trying to get the recognition and approval of people, we can become distracted by what God is trying to teach us. Y'all, when I was younger, I wanted to preach so badly. I wanted to preach because I wanted people to see me. I wanted people to preach because I wanted to be well known. And then God taught me, you don't got nothing to say. And then as I got older, I started desiring to preach less. And God showed me, now it's time to preach because you got something to say. See, sometimes God wants to show us that we need to crave Him, that we need to desire Him. We can't just say my quiet time is 15 minutes. Now, you're going to miss days, don't get me wrong, but it's the craving that's important. I haven't missed a day of quiet time in years because if I get so distracted by the world, I need refreshment. I need to be nourished. I don't know if you've ever gone a whole day forgetting to eat. Probably not. You may have skipped a meal, but you've never gone a whole day and just forgot to eat. You never got to 1 a.m. and was like, man, I haven't eaten today. Want to know why? Because your body gives you signs that you need to eat. Your stomach begins to hurt. You begin to get lightheaded. You begin to feel exhausted. See, that's the same thing with the Word of God. Sometimes your soul is giving you every inclination that you need to eat. But you don't want to eat, so you fill your body with something else. You fill it with something worse. You say, well, I'm just tired. I need to rest. So you try to watch Netflix and lay on the couch and take a 3-hour nap. That's never going to help you. Hey, guys, here's the reality. You need 7 hours of sleep a day. That's it. Naps aren't helping you. They're hurting you. Now, if you're over a certain age, praise God, you need to take naps. JD, it's okay for you to take naps, man. It's okay to take naps. You need more rest. But if you're younger, you don't need 27 hours of sleep a day. You can work a 40-hour week job, praise the Lord. You're not resting by working. You should work. But when you start to get to that 55, 60 hour, are you resting or are you trying to earn something? Are you resting or are you building? busying yourself so much by distraction that you're trying to avoid what God may be speaking to you. See, work is good. We should work. We should do these things. But sometimes our soul is giving us every reason that we need to be with God, but we can't see it because we become so distracted by what we think we need. We start to think we need a vacation. Y'all know something? Vacations don't do anything for you. You can't not rest all year and then take 7 days off and be like, now I'm ready to go. Your heart beats in a rhythm. It beats in a rhythm. If your heart gets out of rhythm, what happens? You die. No, sometimes it's just a little bit of a murmur, right? You get a little medicine, you go, okay, I'm starting to beat rhythm. But if it stops beating, you do die. And when your heart gets out of rhythm, your doctor's not like, just don't worry about it. Go home, take some fish oil, you'll be okay in 7 to 10 days. Right? No, there's extensive testing that happens. See, our lives have to be rhythms. We can't just eat when we want to. We can't just try to give ourselves a little boost every once in a while. Try to take a vacation. Half the 7 days makes everything better. When you go on vacation, you come back more exhausted than when you left. Especially if you have kids. You don't go on vacation and come back rested. Want to know why? Because you can't make up for all your rest in one moment. You can't just come to church on Sunday and then be like, man, I'm so fired up for the Lord. You're going to be fired up for about 3 hours and then Monday's going to happen. And on Monday, you're going to have stuff to do. On Monday, you're going to have accomplishments. You're going to have people who need you. You're going to have things that you need to get done. And you're going to forget to rest with the Lord. But if you create a rhythm of rest in your life with the Lord, you won't become distracted by everything. And you'll give yourself and your soul the nourishment that it needs to continue on. Because it's a long journey. And we got to be fed to go on the journey. So he got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. His 40 days and 40 nights thing is really cool, but I don't have a whole lot of time to get into it. But it speaks to the wilderness when Jesus went in. And so it's a pretty shadowing of Jesus going into the wilderness and not eating. Showing that he was so well fed by the Lord because he was God, that he could conquer any endeavor, even though it was hard, even though it was painful, he trusted the Lord to pursue. Elijah's doing the same thing. He does this journey where he travels, he's fed because he had the nourishment which he needed, and he goes into a cave and he spends the night. And there the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? That's a really weird question. I was just talking to an angel. He told me to come here. But sometimes God asks these questions that don't make no sense. Remember Adam and Eve? Hey, where are you guys at? God already knew where they were at. But sometimes God doesn't ask a question for himself. He asks a question for us. Because Elijah might have thought he was there for one reason, but that might not be the reason. You may think you're at work to make money. That probably has nothing to do with it. You're probably at work because God has positioned you for a purpose. You're probably at work because someone needed you there more than they needed somebody else. Y'all ever think about that? There's other people who could have got your jobs, but God knew you needed to be there, maybe for the people around you. Remember how God created the trees to give us oxygen? He thought about that too. That you needed to be where you are. And sometimes we get so busy trying to get out of where we are, we forget that God put us there for a purpose. It's called contentment. And when you're well fed, you learn to be content. That's why when Jesus made Paul rest in prison, Paul wrote, I can be satisfied in all things. I've had a lot, I've had little. And I've learned to be content in everything. That's where that verse comes from. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He sits there. He's resting. But he's confident that God has placed him there for a purpose. If you remember what he says, these chains that I wear have proven to be the thing to advance the gospel. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. In your job, you're not even wearing literal chains, but you're there to advance the gospel. You're there because God has positioned you. So God asked him, why are you here? This is what he replied. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So what's he do? It's exactly what we do. God, here's what's going on. This is exactly what God wants. He wants to know. He wants us to be real with him. See, when we rest, we can be real with God. We can tell him all the things that are wrong. We can tell him all the ways that we're distracted. We can tell him all the things that we're angry about. And God hears that like a loving father. He accepts it, and then he corrects it. That's why David in the Psalms, remember, a lot of hard stuff and a lot of thankfulness. He pours out and then God pours in. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So he just poured his heart out. Now God's like, go stand outside. That's an answer you don't want to hear. God, this is what's happening. Everything's a wreck. God, I don't understand why I'm here. God, I don't understand why I don't have the money I need. God, I don't understand why this person passed away. God, I don't understand why I have this struggle. God, I don't understand why my marriage is falling apart. God, I don't understand what's wrong with me. God, I don't understand why I have these thoughts. And then he says, go stand outside. And see, if he said that to you, you know what you would say? No. Or you'd be so busy trying to fix the issue that you wouldn't be able to hear the word. Because you wouldn't like that answer. Elijah gets an answer. Go stand outside. And this is the big part. Because the presence of the Lord is about to pass by. Y'all know what Psalm 17 says, the very last verse. It says, and I will be satisfied in the presence of the Lord. There's a dude named King David. We've been talking about the Psalms. King David continually says, I'll be satisfied in your presence. I'll be satisfied in your presence. King David doesn't eat because he knows he just needs the presence of God at times. King David gives us a kind of an outline of fasting because he says he doesn't want to be satisfied in the things of the world, but he wants to humble himself to be satisfied by the presence of God. I will be satisfied in your presence. Y'all, that's the hardest thing in the entire world for me to do, to be satisfied in the presence of God. I'm going to be real with you. The presence of God is the most amazing thing in the world, but it's oftentimes I get so dissatisfied with my external circumstances, I can't find my internal satisfaction in who he is. And I have to sit and I have to be with God. Y'all know that verse impacted me so much in December that I got it tattooed on me. So that every single time I read it, when I wake, I'll be satisfied in your presence. I need to be reminded of that so much because the presence of God is the greatest thing. In your life, the presence of God is the greatest thing. But if you don't have a regular surrender with him, if you don't have a regular rhythm with him, if you don't have regular rest with him, you'll forget that his presence is so good because you'll forget about what his presence feels like. You ever been there? You stop reading the Word of God because you don't want to hear what he has to say? You run away from church because you don't want to have the community? You run away from God or you do your own thing? That only happens because you don't know what the presence of God feels like. Because when you experience that presence, it's the most amazing thing in the world. Sometimes we become so distracted that we begin to forget about what it felt like. Because we're not feeding our souls. Our souls don't have the strength to go and to be in the presence. So he says, the presence of the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. So it's about to pass by. And then basically this huge powerful thing comes through and destroys everything around him. And he's just sitting there like, God told me to come out here. Thought I was supposed to be resting. Does that ever happen to you? Mm-hmm. Something bad happens, and then here comes something else. You're like, what is going on right now? After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. God, something else bad now? You begin to say, what is he doing? You begin to question him, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. This is getting worse and worse. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mountain of the cave. Then the voice said to Elijah, what are you doing here? Y'all, did you see that? God asked him at the very beginning, what are you doing here? He tells him all this stuff. And then here comes the presence of God, the gentle whisper. He lays down in worship and God asked him again, what are you doing here? Because the first answer wasn't the right answer. The first answer wasn't the reason he was there. He thought he was there to tell God all the problems, but he was there to gain the rest in the presence of God that would forever transform everything. Elijah was a believer of God, but he needed to be refreshed. Is there ever a time where you need to be refreshed in the Lord? Then the voice said, what are you doing here? He replied, I have been very zealous. Look at this. He says the same exact thing. For God Almighty, the Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Now the Lord gives him an answer. Then the Lord said, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. I don't got time to get into this. But there was a man named Paul who was from Damascus.
God sends him back to the desert of Damascus. Y'all need to read the Bible. It's super fun. And so when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nishmi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Mahola, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any of who escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those knees have not bowed to Baal, and those whose mouths have not kissed him. Okay, what just happened? Elisha says, hey, they're killing everybody. Now God says, go back there. Now us, God, that's not the right answer, man. I came here to see what you were telling me to do next, not what you're telling me to go back to. God, I came here to find rest, not to find more things to do. God, I came here to escape. God, I came here to see what the new way was, not to go back to the old things, not to go back to things I don't understand, not to go back to things that are trying to kill me, not to go back to this. And God says, go back and do these things. Now, Elijah has one decision to make, be obedient or be disobedient. See, obedience will bring rest, and disobedience will bring unrest. Disobedience will bring distraction. Disobedience will get us further and further away from the presence of God. But Elijah rests. God feeds him. God gives him a call that was not different than the original call. He says, go back. Get rid of the distractions. You've seen me. You've experienced my presence again. You've been filled. You've been fed. Now go back because you're ready. Now, y'all, I don't know about you, but that can be an extremely scary thing when God says, now you got to go back and face the issue. Now you got to go back and face the ones who are angry at you. Now you got to go back and face the boss that you disappointed. Now you got to go back and face the boss that you blessed out. Now you got to go back and face the situation of somebody who hurt you. Now you got to go back and ask for forgiveness. Now you got to go back and get forgiveness. I don't know what your situation is that God is calling you back to, but I'll tell you something right now. God doesn't allow you to escape the situation until you've completed the call inside the situation. And sometimes all you need is a little rest. Church, I got a question for you. How is your soul? What are you being distracted by? Is it your phone? Then smash it. The Bible's pretty clear on that. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge that thing out. And you say, well, Ricky, we can't live in this world without a phone. I think you can. I'm pretty sure you can. If that thing is stealing all your time and causing you to sin, you need to get rid of that thing. I don't have social media. I want to know why. Social media is a time stealer. And social media is also filled with temptations. Temptations for me to get jealous of another pastor. Temptations for me to wish I had something that I don't have. Y'all don't even understand the amount of people that I talk to who are buying stuff because they saw it on an ad on something. Just to stick up with the status quo, right? Y'all, you cannot want a new car and then you see it on social media and you want that car. And I have an addictive personality, so when I see something I want, nothing is going to stand in the way of me getting it. And so I realized that I need to be careful with what I'm putting in front of me, and I need to rest so that when I can see clearly what God is asking me to do, that I don't get distracted by all the other things. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what your rest looks like. But I want to give you basically an answer for rest. Be with God in His presence every day. Every single day. 7 days a week. If you miss a day, okay. But if you miss a day, you should break your heart. Number two, take time to thank God. Don't just pray about things you want. Pray about things that He's given you. Thank Him for the prayers that He's answered that you might not remember that He answered. Thank God. Number three, surround yourself with godly community. Remember at the very beginning, I said the keys to a healthy soul is relationship with God and relationship with others. If you do not have other people in your life who love the Lord, your soul will be tired. You can try to argue with me all you want. You can say, I don't need people for my relationship with God. Well, you do. And if you want to fight against the Bible on that, you go right ahead. And then you have fun. It's pretty hot in hell, but I think you'll have a good time. Y'all are like, well, that was me. Well, if you go against the word of God, you're going to hell. I don't know how a nicer way to say that crap. If you want to fight against the word of God, it doesn't matter if you say you believe in Jesus, because if you don't believe his word, which he is, then you don't believe in Jesus. You might believe in a dead Jesus, but you don't believe in a living Jesus. And I'll tell you one thing right now. The only thing that gives you a relationship with God is a living Jesus, not a dead Jesus. So if you want to fight against the word of God, you go right ahead. But you need godly relationship with him. You need godly relationship with others. You need time to let your soul be nourished. And you need to be living in the purpose in which God has placed you in. That's the last thing. Are you living in the purpose in which he has placed you? See, sometimes we want something and we think that's our purpose. But sometimes God places us and we can't see that he's placed us in our purpose. Sometimes God has placed you to be a great church member. Sometimes God has placed you to be a great pastor. Sometimes God has blessed you to be a great waitress, waiter. I don't know what your job is, but sometimes God places you in a position and you think, I need to get here so that I can be happy. No, that's just a lie of the enemy distracting you from a situation that you're already in and learning to be thankful and live in the calling in which you're currently in. The grass is not greener on the other side. You can't hope that you'll make this and then you'll be okay. No. You can't say, I'll work hard until I'm 50 and then I'll retire and then I'll stop working hard. No. You'll just want more. Because you've conditioned yourself to crave more of the things of the world and not the word of God. You want rest. Then remember what Jesus said. All who come to me, you find rest. My yoke is light. Your burden is heavy, but mine is light. Don't let the world distract you from the creator of the world. We're better together when we live in the word of God and in godly community. Church, are you resting in God? Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Are you resting in God? Are you spending time with God? Are you living in God, the calling God has placed on your life?
Thank you for joining us this week. We hope you are encouraged by the message. At ID Clifton, we exist to love God, love others, and make disciples. To learn more about ID Clifton, including our gathering times, small groups, and events, please visit us at idclifton.com. We'll see you next time.